The Air Force gets its first Predator C. Flight 1549 finally gets its wings back. And Bombardier ends 2011 on a decidedly upbeat note. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. The U.S. Air Force has now acquired its first example of the Predator C Avenger for testing. The third generation of the famous drone reportedly makes another leap in capabilities for speed, stealth, and payload. Pentagon spokeswoman Jennifer Cassidy tells the Los Angeles Times, the $15 million armed drone has been acquired solely for testing for now, saying, quote, there is no intention to deploy the aircraft in the war in Afghanistan at this time, unquote. Compared to the earlier generation MQ-9 Reaper drone, also made by General Atomics, the Avenger can carry 2,000 pounds of bombs, four times as much weight, carries them in an internal bay versus the Reaper's underwing system for a reduced radar signature, and has a turbofan engine allowing flight at 460 miles an hour, a huge jump past the Reaper's 276 mile per hour top end. The Air Force is expected to evaluate the Avenger for its radar detectability, weapons delivery, and overall performance before deciding whether to buy more. Remember the dramatic live TV shots of passengers standing on the wings of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, waiting to be rescued after the ditching that came to be known as the Miracle on the Hudson? Well, for the first time since the famous Airbus A320 was pulled from the Hudson River and disassembled in early 2009, its wings were put back in place last week at the North Carolina Museum, where it's now on permanent display. WCNC-TV in Charlotte reports that a crew of volunteers, including current and retired U.S. Airways mechanics, with the assistance of two huge cranes, positioned the wings for reattachment last Wednesday at the Carolinas Aviation Museum. There is hope this portion of the job can be finished by January 15th, the third anniversary of what has been called the most successful ditching in aviation history. Charlotte was the intended destination of Flight 1549 when it left New York LaGuardia on that fateful day. While there are lots of other interesting civilian and military airplanes and helicopters on display at the facility, Museum Director Sean Dorsch tells WCNC the famous A320 is what everyone is coming to see. Quote, attendance went from about 15,000 to 50,000 people a year. I actually believe that by this time next year, we'll probably be running 70,000 to 80,000 people a year. Unquote. Mary Neighbor has escaped the last 10 British winters to enjoy Australian summers with her husband Ted flying gliders, but she's currently recovering from serious injuries in an Australian hospital after a crash. Gliding Club of Victoria spokesman John Switala tells the Herald Sun that on her Sunday flight, Mary apparently got caught in a downdraft, and when it became obvious she wouldn't make her chosen emergency landing site, she veered away from a home in her path at the last moment. Kylie Martin was standing on her porch with her kids as the glider just missed her house and hit the ground nearby. She told TheAge.com, quote, this thing was coming towards us and I was dumbfounded. I probably should have grabbed the kids and ran a lot earlier than I did, but I wasn't really thinking, unquote. Martin subsequently made the phone call to summon emergency responders. Mary turned 80 in 2011. Her injuries reportedly include fractured ribs and a punctured lung. She was reported in serious but stable condition Sunday night. Mary, get well soon. You're an inspiration to all of us who hope to make it to our 80s. Bombardier Aerospace says it closed the year 2011 with a firm order for five Challenger 850 jets from an undisclosed customer. The total value of the deal is about $156 million U.S., based on the 2011 list price for typically equipped aircraft. The Bombardier Challenger 850 is the largest super midsize business aircraft currently offered by Bombardier. It's based on the 50-seat CRJ-200LR. The transcontinental bizjet is capable of accommodating 15 to 19 passengers. Up next on ANN, Columbia Helicopters finds a way to grow during the recession. Two J-3 pilots plan a two-week trip that won't leave Ohio. And friends of the late Ed Beagles plan a fitting memorial. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. The helicopter industry in general has weathered the recession better than the fixed-wing side, in part because of continued military spending. Columbia Helicopters, based in Aurora, Oregon, has also found new ways to make money and reports growth and a boost in employment as a result. Company President Michael Fahey explains, quote, "Our pursuit of commercial and military helicopter maintenance and operational contracts in new areas has resulted in our ability to grow and hire more people," unquote. Columbia Helicopters owns, operates, and maintains the largest private fleet of heavy-lift helicopters in the world and says hiring is up 12% over this time a year ago, with nearly 200 jobs added since the end of 2009. The company says that to meet the demands of its growing military helicopter maintenance business, it is now routinely sending crews outside the U.S. Two aviation bloggers are going to attempt to fly to all 88 counties in Ohio as part of a trip to raise money for a new scholarship. They'll make the trip in a pair of 1946 Piper J3 Cubs. While not exactly an FAI official category, the accomplishment will no doubt make for lots of smiles and great stories. Joe Murray is a professor at Kent State University, and he says he came up with the idea for the flight to create a scholarship to help a disadvantaged family send a child to college for the first time. Ron Sewick is a Kent State alumnus from the 1960s, a flight instructor and former military flight surgeon during the Vietnam War, and flew a Bonanza solo around the world in 2008. The pair plan to depart Kent State University's Andrew W. Payton Airport in Northeast Ohio and arrive at Dayton's Wright Brothers Airport near Ohio's southern border a week or two later. They point out that you could drive straight from one airport to the other by highway in about 3.5 hours. But where's the fun in that? The plan is to take off May 13th, find out more about the challenges expected, follow the adventure, and get more info on the backgrounds of the intrepid aviators themselves on the Lost in Oscar Hotel blog at www.lostinoscarhotel.com. Master Instructors LLC reports two new initial Master Instructor accreditations. Anthony Sharp is a SAFE member and a professor and the director of the Aviation Science Program at Elizabeth City State University. He also serves as a FAST team representative in the FAA's Greensboro, North Carolina, FISDO area. Brian Willett is a member of both the International Aerobatic Club and SAFE and serves as an instructor with APS Emergency Maneuver Training at Williams Gateway Airport in Mesa, Arizona. He's a retired Air Force instructor pilot who specializes in aerobatic, upset recovery, and spin training. And finally today, Ed Beagles was always infatuated with airplanes. He soloed at age 16 in 1938 and went on to spend much of his life repairing, maintaining, and restoring airplanes. He passed away last month, and now some of his friends are trying to raise $20,000 to buy his Luscombe T-8F and display it in his memory in the terminal of the Greeley Weld County Airport in Colorado. Annalisa Roman reports in the Greeley Tribune that friends Mel Bickling and Ken Harris hatched the idea for the display while Beagles was still alive, but it never got very far. Harris explains, quote, "One thing led to another, and it seems like it's going to happen now," unquote. The rare Luscombe T-8F Observer was reportedly a wreck, acquired by Beagles in two pieces after having been impaled on a fence post and had been essentially written off. Beagle's restoration became an award winner. The same skills and dedication which showed in the T-8F earned Beagles a spot in the National Aviation Hall of Fame and the FAA's Charles Taylor Master Mechanic Award. Ed sold the company that bears his name to an employee in 1969, but it's still thriving today with 25 current employees. A road near the Greeley Weld County Airport was named Ed Beagles Lane in Ed's honor. Ed, thank you for your service to our country and to our industry. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.